name is Iris Alcantara, and I'm here today representing the Emory Prevention Research Center. So I will be talking with you, sharing our findings on our data that we looked at when we collected two measures of the home, food, and physical activity environment from two people in the same household. So just talking a little bit about how they see their household and what factors might contribute to how they see it differently. So to start with just a little background, I don't know if you can see that very well with the light, but some background information on the Emory Prevention Research Center, or EPRC as we like to call it. We are one of 37 PRCs in the country. We conduct our research using a community-based participatory approach, so involving community members and local partners in carrying out our research from design to actual implementation of the study design. We focus primarily on behaviors that prevent cancer, so diet, physical activity, and how they might relate to obesity prevention and weight gain prevention, and also tobacco use behaviors. We take a multi-level approach, so looking at the behaviors that I just mentioned and looking at them at various settings. Currently, our focus is on diet and physical activity behaviors, so weight gain prevention in the home environment. Our primary partner in South Georgia is the Cancer Coalition of South Georgia. We've been working with them for several years now, I think going on 10 years. And we also work with a community advisory board with members representing various organizations in South Georgia. So the local AHAB, local universities, public health districts, businesses, and clinicians. And you can see on the map that where our population, our communities, are relative to Atlanta, which is a little further north in Georgia. So today's topic, I will be sharing some findings with you about how adults living in the same household see their home, food, and physical activity environment. So if they do see it differently, what factors are associated with discrepant perceptions, and also what it means, or what do our findings suggest. So a little bit of background, there's been a lot of research into how microenvironments like home environments, churches, workplace, how they might relate to health behavior, and evidence does show that there's association between our environment and our health behavior. Home environments in particular have been assessed in the past mostly using self-reported instruments. So questions like yes, no type of inventory types of questions being administered to participants or self-administered. There's also evidence of discordant reporting of environments. So for example, parents and children, if you ask a parent what foods are in the home, it might be different than what the child would report to the interviewer or the data collector. There's also differences in reporting the perceived environment and the objective environment. So what we see versus what is actually there. Especially with physical activity and recreational facilities, for example, there's been factors such as age, income, and physical activity levels has been shown to be related to discordant reporting. But regardless of all of that, there is evidence of association between perceived environments and behavior. So it is important. The way we see our environment does play some role in how we in determining our health behavior or shaping our health behavior. So for example, going back to the parent-child pairs, children's perception of their home food environment is actually a stronger predictor of their fruit and vegetable intake versus the parents' report of the foods in the home, and perceived access to neighborhood facilities have been shown to be associated with high higher levels of physical activity versus just the objective presence alone. So it's kind of like you have to see it to act on it. So the data that I'm going to be sharing with you today is from an intervention study that the PRC developed called Healthy Homes, Healthy Families. It's from our pilot test data. We're actually in the middle of a randomized controlled trial right now. The intervention focuses on changing the home environment. So we have coaches working with families to change the home environment to make it more supportive of eating healthy and being physically active. So for this presentation, we are focusing on the 83 households that participated in the study, and two adults in each household provided data. We asked them the exact same questions. You'll see P1 and P2 a lot, and that's just a reference to primary participant who was recruited first into the study, and then the P2 was the secondary participant. We asked them questions about their fruit and vegetable intake, fat intake, and physical activity, weight, height, and also questions about their home and neighborhood environment. So all of these were self-reported measures. So we looked at our data a lot of ways. So first, to answer the question, do they see their environment similarly or differently? So we assessed agreement for our inventory, and I'll show you the full list as we go through the results. We looked at Cohen Kappa, and we also looked at percentage agreement. So we looked at percentage agreement in two different ways. First, just general agreement. Both people in the household said yes, or they both said no. And then we also looked at agreement based on absence. So among those who agreed, whose responses match, what percentage agreed that they did not have the item? So kind of speaking to the saliency of the items in the home. We also calculated a discrepancy index score, and this score describes the portion of items disagreed upon by the dyad. Okay, and hopefully, I tried to incorporate all of these reminders in the results section, so you don't have to remember it all. And to answer the question, what factors are associated with discrepant perceptions, we ran regression models with a discrepancy index as the outcome variable. So all the models included time between the interviews, differences in education, differences in BMI, and then we added specific variables specific to the food environment, and then specific to the physical activity environment. Okay, so this is a description of our study participants. As you can see, we have a fairly equal distribution of race between African Americans and whites. Most of our primary participants were females, and most of our secondary participants were males. So I think quite a few were wives participating in the study, and they asked their husband to participate with them. Most of the participants were age 40 to 59. Most were employed, married, or living with a partner. And also, as you can see, most of our participants were obese. And this is consistent with our other studies in this region. There are higher than expected rates of overweight and obesity. These are the behaviors of the participants. There were no statistically significant difference between fruit and vegetable intake and fat intake, but we did see a difference between P1 and P2 for their physical activity levels. Okay, so agreement among dyads. It's a lot of numbers, but hopefully the colors will help, and I'll try to also direct your eyes. Okay, so fruits, if you look in the kind of in the dark brown bar, the question is there, how we ask the question. So were the following fresh or frozen fruits available in your home in the past week? So for the percentage agreement ranges from 63% for apples to 92% for watermelon. And then we look looked at agreement just based on absence, and there were no clear patterns on agreement based on absence. And you can also see that the Kappa scores were fairly low to moderate, with quite a few of them statistically significant. So Kappa scores range from 0.11 to 0.5. So, okay, so for vegetables, agreement ranged from 57% for okra to 86% for lettuce. Again, no clear patterns on agreement based on absence. And Kappa scores were also low to moderate. Snacks and other foods, agreement ranged from 53% for candy bars to 90% for reduced fat hot dogs. And Kappa scores, this is the trend, Kappa scores were fairly low to moderate. Drinks in the home, agreement range from 60% to 87%. Again, no clear patterns on agreement based on absence alone, and Kappa scores were also low to moderate. Exercise equipment in the home. So we actually asked a few more items than what's on this list, but the other items were specific, like your running shoes, So we only asked for general items, we only included the general items here. So we asked, do you have the following items in your home, yard, or apartment complex? Agreement range from 55% for workout or exercise space to 98% for swimming pool. I always like to look at the family dog, which is the second line, and we did not get 100% agreement on whether or not they had family dogs. So I always thought that was funny. Kappa scores, again, were low to moderate, except for the first four. They were a little higher compared to the others. Neighborhood recreational facilities or space, agreement range from 55% to 82%, and again, Kappa scores were low to moderate. Okay, these are the discrepancy index scores, so just a reminder, this describes the portion of items in those inventory that I just showed you that the dyads disagreed upon. So, for example, for the fruit inventory, the dyads disagreed on 25% of the items. So the fruit inventory would seem to be the more stable inventory in all the home food environment measures that we use. And then for the physical activity environment, the exercise equipment was the most stable. Okay. So factors associated with discrepant reporting, I'm going to show you a really big and busy and scary table, but I'll summarize it after. So this was in case there was any statisticians in the room that might be interested in this. But just as a reminder, we did take a look at the discrepancy index as the outcome, and the factors, the variables on the right were the variables that we looked at as factors that may or may not affect discrepant reporting. Contribute to discrepant reporting. So here's a summary of that table. We found that differences in education was significantly associated with discrepant reporting of fruits in the home. We found that shopping behavior was significantly associated with discrepant reporting of vegetables in the home. Differences in fat intake was significantly associated with snacks and other foods reported in the home. And BMI, and this one in particular, there's support in literature for this finding already. BMI and physical activity levels were significantly associated with discrepant reporting in the home. So basically, the greater the difference, the greater the discrepancy. We did not find any significant factors associated with drinks and exercise equipment in the home. So what does this all mean? There's a few different ways to look at it. So first, as someone who contributes to field work, we always think, okay, I always go back to kind of how we collect the data. So when do we collect the data? When we, going back to the slide here, there's time, it's highlighted in yellow, and I did that because it made it, when we looked at the full sample, so included everyone in our sample, time made a difference for the fruit inventory. So anything, the longer time passed between two interviews, the greater the discrepancy. So when do you want to collect the data? From how many people in the household do you collect the data? And from whom? Whose perception actually reflects the home environment? We can't answer that with our current data, and I'll talk about that later. And also, just taking a step back as well from the methods is going back to our theories. So we know that environment is associated with health behavior, and we often look at the arrow going this way, so environment shaping behavior, but the differences in fat intake, BMI, physical activity, and those factors being associated with discrepant reporting, how you see your environment, suggests that perhaps the arrow is going both ways. So behavior is contributing to environment, environment's contributing to behavior. And also, of course, we always wonder which one is the better predictor, perceived or objective environment. And in all likelihood, the perceived environment is acting as a mediator somewhere in there, but understanding those relationships would really help us determine how much of the objective environment can we change to change health behavior. So our limitations, as I mentioned, we actually did not validate our data against objective measures, so we don't know which of the individual in the diet actually told the or painted a more realistic picture of what's in their home. It would be interesting to see that and to look at it with factors like behavior as a predictor. The data was also cross-sectional, so we can't actually infer whether it's perception that's driving behavior or vice versa. We did have a modest sample size, 83 dyads, and for the subset, even fewer to get the 1 week time frame for the interviews. And we did not assess relationship between the dyads, which may or may not impact how they're reporting their home environment. And I would like to thank lots of people. So the co-authors for this presentation and also the co-authors for our manuscript that was just accepted in Environment and Behavior. So that's in press now. I would also like to thank especially the study PIs, Dr. Kegler, who is the director of the MRA Prevention Research Center, and she actually developed the Healthy Homes, Healthy Families intervention, and Dr. Karen Glantz, who was co-PI for the pilot phase of the study. I would also like to thank our research team. So we have two sets at Emory University and also in South Georgia at the Cancer Coalition of South Georgia. And of course, our data collectors, the interviewers, lots and lots of graduate research assistants. They do all the hard work. And our website right now is under construction, but do take a look at our website and learn more about the